This is the end. Hold your breath and count to ten. Feel the earth move and then hear my heart burst again. For this is the end.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Heroic Play Podcast. I'm Mark, joined today by Luke.
Hello.
And our special guest, none other than Daniel Scrubwood Harwood. How's it going?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. How are you guys?
Yeah, we're pretty good.
Yeah, feeling good.
So, this episode is going to be, is the sky falling, basically? So, as everybody in the Guild Ball community is probably well aware, Alex Botts piloted Thresher to win the World Championships of Guild Ball this year at SteamCon US, which, you know, fair play to him. He's obviously been putting the work in to, you know, get the muscle memory there, get the reps in, and get good with a captain that's very new. Obviously, there is a lot of noise out there about whether Thresher is overpowered and what, you know, whether just the whole team that you play with him is overpowered. So we're going to go through some of our thoughts around Thresher and the farmers in general. Dan has recently played a couple of events over the weekend, just gone and won both of them with farmers.
Yep.
How many games did you play Thresher in?
So on the Saturday, you know, in America, there's SteamCon finals and, you know, it's really big and great, best players in the world. I played in a little 8-man event using Guild Identity cards.
Cool.
So it was three rounds on Saturday, I know. Three rounds on Saturday where I played Grange in two games and Thresher in the final.
Right.
And then on Saturday, we had a 16-man event locally at Harlow, and I played four games and used Thresher in three, Grange in the farmers matchup.
So pretty even then, really. So seven games over 2 days, and what?
Yeah.
Three with
Grange, four with Thresher.
Cool. Yeah.
See, we had a game at SteamCon, didn't we, Dan? And you were playing Grange against me. It was good.
We did. I played Thresher all of Saturday, I think, and then I played Grange all Sunday, having played Blacksmiths on the Friday. I love Grange so much more. Thresher's got his place, definitely. But yeah, Thresher can do disgusting things, as can Grange. But Grange and the Granny can just go to a whole other level.
Grange and the Granny.
It was ridiculous because I was playing Blacksmith, some random footballing lineup. Dan was telling me how my team worked, to be honest, as I was doing it. And then at one point, he had Fallow all tooled up and geared up in the middle of the pitch. And I was like, what's the movement? He was like, 8. So my entire team were just running away from him. And it was just this old woman standing in the centre circle and all these armour clad blacksmiths like running away from her.
She seems to be pretty terrifying when she gets all of the buffs going on her, doesn't she?
Yeah, yes. And she's a late game piece as well. When you go, if you can go into her early turn, when she's only attack 3, it's just like, yeah, she's got a knockdown on 2, but her counterattacks are doing fuck all. But it's when you get to that end of turn, when you've got 5 tokens on her, she then becomes attack 8, you're then getting Honest Labour tooled up, it's just like, yeah.
It was that ridiculous legendary turn where it was, I hit her and knocked her down, and you were like, right, that's sturdy gone. I hit her again to knock her down, and you're like, right, that's sturdy on millstone gone. I hit her again, and you went, right, that's cocky on millstone done. I'll hit her again. Okay, millstone's knocked down. And it was just ridiculous. It took me about 5 knockdowns to knock her down.
Yeah, that's the dream, though. That's
Oh, yeah, because the legendary gives out sturdy, doesn't it, on Grange?
Yeah.
I was like, where does the 4th immune knockdown come from? Yeah, that's
ridiculous.
Pretty trollish, really, that, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I've also played some games with farmers. I've played one at SteamCon with Thresher and 3 more with Grange at SteamCon. And then since we've got back from SteamCon, I've played 2 with Thresher versus Andy and 1 against Luke.
Yeah.
I would agree that I enjoyed playing Grange a whole lot more. He feels a lot more fun. And like we played against, like the guys played versus Thrasher because they wanted to play against him. And both of them were like, my strategy is just going to be throw goals at the guy as quick as I can to see whether they can prevent it. And I'll admit I'm like mid-table mediocrity, if not lower these days when I play in an event. So I'm probably not the best judge of it. But, you know, they were both in a position where they could bang two goals out quite quickly. And then Andy got a third goal with the Union when he was playing Season Brisket. And like Luke just punched a couple of people to death, didn't you?
I got a goal with Midas, and basically my thought was I received the ball and then I went, basically I used Compound to protect Midas. So Midas then went, scored a goal, and basically I fed him to Thresher. So the thought was, so I know that Thresher's going to kill people, but I wanted him to kill him on my terms. So then after that, I then got a goal with Vitriol. Then I think I took out Thresher, didn't I? Because
yeah.
Catalyst had that bonkers activation where Thresher was knocked down on 15 health, and then Catalyst on 4 influence took him out.
Definitely goes down once he's either, if he's overextended or crowds out several times, he's definitely not indestructive super solo. He's a bit like Fillet, I think, and Hammer especially, where you can have a big activation with him, but once it's over, or if you can negate it, you can just smash him. And I completely agree with 3 goals. If you can get 2 goals up, it like you've said before, it's harder to compete when your opponent's scoring 4 points and you're only scoring 2 at a time.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to have the right setup in place. And I think to some degree, your opponent's got to commit badly to you if you're getting more than one takeout in a turn with Thresher. Because, 3-inch melee, he's got Don't Fear Thee, but they've got to have committed, like, either realistically, their dice have utterly failed them and they've not managed to kill him with multiple players, or they've not committed heavily enough, and then you're just in the position where... But then you want that wind-up. You want to spend the influence to tool him up first. You want to be using Harrow to get his Harvest Marker down. You want Millstone to make sure that she's within the area so that he's got that best wind-up. So again, if they're not sort of doing something to either run away from that or prevent that, then...
Yeah.
I think I can kind of see that you will be able to play around him, but I think it's definitely a factor of how new he is what the problem is.
Oh, completely. Watching the games this weekend, when I got back from the events I was attending, just seeing the amount of counter charge that was triggered.
Ridiculous.
When I play Masons, I dream for someone to fall for a counter charge, but everyone knows now you put that 6-inch widget down and you get away with it. I think it's just people, like I say, it's a new thing. People forgetting the 6-inch counter charge, people forgetting the Millstone aura, people forgetting Fallow can walk up within 4 inches if someone's hurt and then you have to hit her. Those sort of neat little tricks people just aren't ready for.
Yeah. So I think what we were saying before we started recording really was, in a similar way to how everybody's sort of screaming about the farmers at the moment, if we'd already got farmers and we'd been playing with them for like 2 years and everybody was used to what they did and were playing around them, and then they dropped like the Fisherman 12. If they dropped the 12 Fishermen as the latest guild, can you imagine what the internet would be doing right now? Like a team where you can field like 6 players with
2-inch melee.
2-inch melee. Where you've got Corsair, where you can switch between fighting and scoring goals, and all of your players are more than capable of scoring goals. You know, if you'd imagined that Hag was, being released in that, like Hag caused a bit of a stir when she came out anyway, because she does some bonkers stuff. But if the Fishermen, as they stand at the moment, came out as a brand new team, wouldn't we be having the same thing about people screaming that the fishermen were broken?
Yeah, and we said
this. I agree.
We said the same about the Masons, because if someone dropped the Masons now, where you've got Honour and Harmony, Harmony can pinch Honour's stats, then you've got two models that can countercharge, and you set this big thing in the middle of the pitch. You've got the linked activation, where you can break activation things. You can give people extra stuff with superior strategy. The old internet would break down.
Yeah.
And I think it's only a matter of time until people have their blacksmiths painted, and people will be complaining the same thing again. I think that there are some things in Farmers that certainly are over the curve a little bit. And I definitely don't think Thresher is completely balanced. But in saying that, I think that actually every guild has a character, has a captain mainly, which you can think, if you have a negative player experience, you can feel like actually they are broken.
Yeah.
But it's just a matter of time. Wait till blacksmiths are all painted up and people complain about Shumarang, which, you know, everything's got a bit of bullshit in it, really.
Yeah.
But you could do that on a friendly model and then knock someone else down.
Exactly. Give it 2 months, give them to people who have painted them, and we'll have the internet moaning about that as well. I do understand, though, that because of the success that Alex Botts has had in America, it's more prevalent, and with the stream and everything and people able to watch it, there will be, and understandably, there's the concern that actually it's just not fun to play against. And that is something that...
To be honest, I like unlocking a new puzzle, because that's all a classic says. It's just, it's the first time that there's been a shake-up in the meta ever since, like, the Season 2 Captains dropped. Because, realistically, the only new team we've had is the Hunters, and they were a bit below the curve when they first came out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is, like, the first time when they've gone, bang, here's two new competitive teams, work them out.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And also, I think in respect to that sort of thing, like, Rich picked up both sets of blacksmiths at SteamCon, and he was playing, I want to say, he was definitely playing Alloy and Bolt.
He played Alloy, Bolt, Faris, Ferroy, Cinder, and Hearth. Another. Yeah, Hearth, that's it.
And I think he must have played... I reckon he must have played 12 or 13 games in quite a short space of time. Like, he must have played 6 or 7 on Friday and, you know, at least another half a dozen on Saturday, I guess. And he was literally coming, I've won with 3 goals, I've won with 3 goals, I've won with 3 goals. Like, just from never having played a team before to picking up the box and just going round and playing people that you've never played before, so you've got no real idea how good that player is or how bad that player is, and then just winning constantly. And he was winning quite consistently with them. So to pick up a new guild, like Dan says, I suppose, as soon as they hit the competitive scene, we will start seeing people cry about them as well, I think.
Oh, yeah. You'll meet people moaning about Alloy being... I still think Alloy is one of the strongest non-captain models in the game. He's amazing.
Yeah, definitely.
He's such a good threat. The fact he can pinch a 2-inch melee, the fact all the anatomical, or gain an extra inch on his kick, he's so good. That's what Alloy beat you, didn't he, Dan, when we played? I didn't really want to bring it up, but...
It's fine. yeah, he did. You know, giving you the first activation of the final turn, forgetting that Alloy was going to come on and be able to steal the ball and score a goal was a thing. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. Something like, what, a 9-inch sprint? So he came on the side, then ran. I didn't have wing back. I charged the chicken, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. Yep.
Good.
Yeah, so, like, equally, so while I can see that a lot of people arguing, and, like, it does feel, I think it seems bad, because I think Alex Botts is probably an exception to the rule, because he, the amount of people that he 12-0'd doesn't help that perception that Farmers are well above the curve, really, does it? Or Thresher in particular, because he only played Thresher, didn't he, I think?
He only put 8 players in his tournament 10.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was just crazy. So it was the Thresher 6 of Thresher, Tater, Millstone, Jack Straw, and Peck. And then he also had Buckwheat and Grace, and that was his team. But yeah, it worked for him really well. On the subject of Alex Botts, what's everyone's thoughts on Is it Christian Metz, the German guy who conceded in round two at 5-0?
I haven't watched the game. When I heard that, I'm just surprised. There's sometimes where you think, oh, I'm getting absolutely ruined. But I like to keep in a game, whether you're 8-0 down even, or 10-0 down. You want to try and get some points and sort of restore some pride. But again, if jet lag's starting to kick in, you're tired, you're playing against something you perceive as being unbeatable.
Yeah.
Personally, I don't like it. I don't like it when anyone drops out of an event or decides to throw a game or ask or roll a dice to see what the result is. I think you should play your game out, but I haven't seen the video, so I don't know. I can't judge what the game was like.
So I think my view on it is giving up at 5-0 down seems a bit like defeatist. Like if you were, I don't know, 8 or... Like Dan said, I suppose, if you were 8-0 down or you were 10-0 down and it was coming into the start of a turn and you can, like the writing's on the wall, if you lose this dice roll, you know that your opponent can either kick it in the goal or, you know, murder two players in one activation with their captain, then...
I'd still let them do it.
Yeah, I think it's the sportsmanship. I this weekend, playing against Henry, he clocked out and I was on 11 and he knew that he had one activation to score points. And he went to shake my hand. And I said to him, you've still got a minute to try and get at least some points. But again, because I also would always want the gratification of actually being able to say that I won the game rather than someone shaking my hand.
Yeah, okay.
Because I think another thing that goes into it is the fact that I don't know whether or not with Christian Steenforce actually paid to fly him over to America, put him up for a tournament, essentially like a 3-round tournament, and to concede halfway through game two, I think it's a bit poor.
Like I said, I haven't seen... I mean, what was the board state at the time? Because
I think he triggered Tater a couple of times. He lost Hammer top of turn two. But it was a bit of a messy scrum in the middle of the table. But yeah,
I mean, I think realistically, I don't know about you guys, I am never going to be in a position where Steamforge will fly me out to Worlds, and I am never going to be playing to win World Championship. So, there's a little bit of, I can't really comment.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I am not that level of player. I probably will never be that level of player. So you don't know what's going through their head.
Yeah. And with depending on how when they're flown out. Again, I personally wouldn't concede at 5-0, but you don't even know the situation of how jet lagged they are, how tired they are.
You played round three.
Oh, I don't know then. I'd question it more.
Anyway, that was only meant to be a quick comment, but it's turned into quite a debate. So, everyone's talking about it, nerfs and stuff. I don't think they need a lot doing, really, to be honest, the farmers, to bring them down a bit. To be honest, I think it's more to do with people learning them, working the ways about them. You know, it's about, essentially, I chuck my starting six to one side and worked out what team I'd play against them.
Yeah. Straight off the bat, I don't understand why Thresh's got a 3-8 kick.
Snap. Yeah, it's like, ridiculous.
I think you can either be a fighter or a scorer. Like,
you can't have the same kick as Mist and be able to kill people like Hammer.
It's two-fighters all over again.
Yeah. And you've got 2-inch melee and 3-inch melee in your activation. And you've got movement bullshit because you take dodges when you knock people down. Like, I think realistically, a 3-6 kick or maybe a 2-8 kick, you know.
2-6, 3-6, I'd have said.
You know, something like that. If you wanted to give him a bit more range, drop him down to a 2-8. Or if you wanted him to be, you know, reliable, just give him a 3-6. But a 3-8 just seems like he's... just a bit,
I think,
too much.
Yeah.
And his 8-inch sprint as well for an old man.
Yeah.
He's got legs.
for me, having played with him this weekend, played against him as well, the 3-8 kick is certainly something that I think stands out as being odd compared to what you think of the character and his BT style. Yeah. The 3-inch melee is a problem for the fact that no one can counter him. I don't know if that's what makes him really broken, because I actually don't think Thresher on his own, without the Don't Fear and without Tooled Up, he doesn't do any more damage than a normal beta captain.
No, he doesn't. So,
his lower playbook's pretty pants, to be honest. It's
you say one, two, that.
Three. It's column five till he hits three damage.
Yeah, but he also has, for some reason, a 1-inch dodge on one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right, he's tac 7 with a momentous 2 damage on 2 successes now.
Yeah.
Like, that is the number that kills people, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, realistically, because you can tool him up and he's doing 3 damage on 2 hits, which is really, really reliable. So he will be killing people. And, as soon as you see that momentous 2 on 2 on a captain, you can kind of expect that they will be putting people in the bin. But I think, like what Dan's saying, like with it between his having knockdowns where he dodges off and having that cheeky little dodge on the one.
Dodge on the wrap, basically.
Yeah, basically. He's just got that little bit too much versatility.
I think he, in some extent, that versatility is just, it's like you don't expect. It's a little bit like when you look at Blackheart originally, and you think, oh, he won't be able to get around too far, and then Jason Mountain comes out of nowhere and does 20 inches of dodges or whatever. But I think it's just the way that he does a little bit of everything. But I don't necessarily think he's completely.
He ain't
broken.
That too. It's his supporting, it's basically the trio that most people seem to have the issue with Tater and Millstone.
Well, it's the Millstone and Peck as well, isn't it? It's the Tater, Millstone, Peck, Thresher, that like foursome, because you've got like ignoring 2 knockdowns in effect on him.
My solution, mate, take one for the team of heroic. There you go.
Yeah.
Millstone's ability, make it a heroic.
Yeah, that's probably not a bad call. You'd still definitely use it, wouldn't you?
Mm. Yeah, and it makes.
You can't just go first activation and hit Thresher and Millstone takes it. You've got to do a bit more setup.
Yeah, I think as well, as much as, like you say, Thresher can do that damage, it's after a Tooled Up. And we all know that first turn, yeah, Tooled Up's great. But actually later on the game, giving your opponent the opportunity to get in on you because you've spent an activation tooling someone up. I mean, this weekend I had someone that they had a 6 influence fillet within walk range of Thresher. They chose not to activate her and activate someone else. And I thought, she can kill him. She can kill him easily if she just walks over. And she already had a legendary for her.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a decision some people make.
I think sometimes it's people do think Thresher's like the boogeyman or whatever. But he does drop pretty easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, 20 boxes death 4, like, somebody like Tapper will rinse him.
Ruins him.
Just rinse
and
him.
And his counterattack isn't that good.
Yeah.
Realistically, you base him. He's got the dodge on one, and then realistically, the only other thing he's got is a knockdown. But if you do a momentous result, you clear it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, realistically, like that. Like, knockdown used to be what I used to think of as like the most amazing counterattack result, but it's not anymore. It's you're looking for your double pushes or your double dodges or like a push dodge that effectively ends their ability. Like, they've already charged in, they can't get into you now once you've done that, and he doesn't have that ability, thankfully, I suppose.
Probably the only thing he hasn't got.
Yeah, like if he'd got a double push on like 3 successes, like equivalent of his knockdown, I think he would be like pants on head, really.
Mm-mm. But yeah, to be honest, I don't think Tate is too bad. I think it's just people keep forgetting about his counter. Well, people seem to forget a lot about his counter charge, but I don't think Tate is that above the curve, to be honest. He's good, but I don't think he's amazing.
Yeah, I got decent-ish work out of him, but he's never. He's not doing anything that sort of sets your world on fire. He's just reliable, really.
Yeah. It gives you, it's something to burn someone's clock down to make you think about when they're going, oh, God, watch out for the counter charge.
Yeah.
And he can chuck out a bit of damage.
So, outside of that, we've obviously said that we think Grange is a bit more fun to play. Thresher is possibly a little bit above the curve, but he's definitely killable, and he's probably no worse than when, you know, everybody had to get used to playing around Corsair, and he was pretty prevalent at tournaments when he first came out.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
But then it's similar to with, like, you know, Season 3 Alchemists, when they, you know, you had the standard six that everyone played, with yeah. Midas, Naja, Catalyst, Harry, Vitriol, and... shit, who was it? Someone else.
Yeah, Season Compound. 2 Fillet comes Compound. To mind as well.
Yeah, definitely. Like, Season 2 Fillet was equally as much of a problem.
Yeah, I think you just had to learn a strategy.
Or, you know...
It's a low...
Obulus.
Yeah. The thing is with farmers, they can be... They're quite a low-floor skill cap. So, well, the guy that I played on Saturday... that he was using Thresher against me. He even said, you know, I've not played too many games, but Thresher's making, you know, Thresher's quite easy to use. And if you choose to play that Thresher, that simple Thresher game, it's actually quite easy to counter, a little bit like anybody that uses Super Solo. If they send them in too deep, you just murder them.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. I think that's, you know, it's a low entry point team, but I think the issue that the internet has is the fact of when a skilled player gets hold of them. Well, you've just seen what happened last weekend.
Yeah.
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 But I think it's just new toy syndrome, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Like, I can't see it being any worse than, like we've said, if the fishermen were the new guild, or say the masons were the new guild, you know, coming out and we'd never seen them before, and you were like, my God.
Or even like, imagine the morticians, they go, wait a minute, you've got a character who can make one of mine attack one of my own, move people around and stuff. You've got memory and brain pan who can dodge around and do everything.
Every guild, if it came out now, would be complaining about it, whether it's Theron with pinned, Smoke with a jump in, Ballista, you know, pinned vice, everything, it's got it. But like you say, I think it's because it's the new thing. And people have also got used to playing their certain style. One thing Alex Botts did incredibly well was he took his kill the ball, vet rage style play, which he's very efficient at, where he'll hide the ball and he'll kill a player off, pick him off one at a time. He just applied that to a new Thresher team and it worked really well.
Yeah.
See, me and Mark were talking about this with the hiding the ball thing, and we thought that the farmers aren't amazing at hiding the ball.
No. They're not really. Like, we were, again, before we started recording, when me and Dan were having a quick chat, like, you can put it, realistically, in those teams, you can probably put it on Peck or on Jack Straw as your couple of options to try and keep it safe. But somebody like Shark isn't going to care about charging a Def 6 model and under a defensive stance. He's only hunting for two hits. So if he doesn't get it on the first one, he probably gets a momentous one-inch dodge. So he's got the momentum to score then, and then he's hitting you on fives, needing two successes. It's not that hard. And when you're like tack three attacking a 4-1 model, you're pretty unlikely to get that momentous tackle back.
Yeah, because it was in our game when I had Midas and Vitriol on either side of the pitch, and you were like,
Yeah, like I wasted about 5 minutes on my clock going, where do I move this chicken with the ball? To try and keep it safe, because Midas had been killed and had come on from my right-hand side of the pitch, basically. And then a bit later, Vitriol had been killed and came on via the left-hand side.
And then it was Catalyst like... Catalyst stood in the middle.
Like, Catalyst stood in the middle, and the chicken's, like, slightly off to the left, but with the ball, I'm like, where do I even go with this? Like... And the chicken doesn't even stand a chance. It's like tack two with a tackle on two successes. So, like against a 4-1 model, it's not taking the ball off you.
Yeah, because it was ridiculous. But you know, I do think, I think they're a very, very good team.
Yeah, they are, definitely.
I don't think there's some unbeatable thing.
No. I have found them a bit frustrating. I'm a bit torn because I massively love the models because they all look really amazing, and I've got the Grange box painted by Max, so they look fantastic. But I think at the moment I'm not really enjoying playing them, which feels a bit of a shame. So I think a few more games with them maybe and it will start coming in, but it's definitely not a win button, I don't think.
No.
This weekend, I think that, particularly on Sunday, there was Henry Clark there, and Henry Clark is a very good player. He play-tested a lot of the farmers coming into it, and he felt pretty confident of taking the event, and he ended up winning, only going 2-2. So, like you say, I don't think it is necessarily a win button.
No, there is a degree of skill, which kind of leads on. We've got an event this weekend, haven't we, Dan, that we're both playing in? What are you taking?
I think I'm going to take a farmers.
So,
because the internet says they're broken, so.
Yeah. So, in other news, your little eight man was a Guild Identities event. So, how did that go down?
So, it was good. It was run by William Hugh, I think I'm pronouncing that. So the guy from Guild Ball Gamer.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a great guy. Got there, I helped him set up. It was a nice little event, actually. It was just nice, quite relaxed. Everyone was playing their broken Guild Identity cards. So it was a fair and balanced field. I used the extra healing ability when I took Grange, because healing 5 is crazy. Yeah. The first game I played against Tapper, and I thought Tapper's going to just kill my players so I can bring them back on and heal the extra 3 and then heal 5. But Tapper ended up dying to Grange and his gang. He didn't actually kill a player the entire game. Then the second game I played into Thresher with Grange, and Grange loved healing that little extra help win the attrition.
Did you take the same Guild Identity for all 3 games?
No, so the final game I played Thresher, and I think with Thresher, the Guild Identity that stands out is the place 2 harvest tokens. Firstly, for Taser to get the potential counter charge to protect Thresher if you kick off. Secondly, for Thresher to just get an extra point of influence for the second turn. Because in a Thresher team, unlike a Grange team, you can be starved with harvest tokens.
Yeah.
I say starved, you're still going to put 3 down.
You've still got 2 for Jackstraw, 1 for Millstone and 1 for Harrow.
Yeah, potentially 1 for Harrow, depending on positioning of when the game is. But if you can get those extra 2, you can leave 1 down all game. So you've always got that counter charge or that potential don't fear.
Yeah.
Or a jump from a Jack.
Cool.
So do you think Guild Identities are a good thing?
Do other people take? Other farmers player took the harvest token one because he just played Thresher all day. There was a alchemist player that I believe took the anatomical position, but that may be incorrect there. The butchers, they were the one that stood out for them. They both played that all the games.
Just say that again because you really crackled up. So the alchemist took the anatomical precision one, and the butchers took
one less to charge.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Fair play.
The anatomical precision one seems weird to me.
I think it was that. I mean, I might be mistaken. That was Daniel Adams from the Roll Better podcast. So I'm going to guess they're going to do something, but I think he said it was that. But I might be wrong.
You see, I can see the benefit of taking the anatomical one because a lot of the alchemist players are low tack.
All by catalyst.
Yeah, but you know, like your smoke being tack 4, you know, she could use a bit of anatomical precision. It more or less makes attack 5, you know, or different stuff like that. I can see it being useful, but I don't know whether I'd take it over like plus 1 damage on the conditions if I was going to be playing Alchemist, to be honest.
I'll be honest, though, I didn't play against him. I thought he said he took that one, but I might be mistaken.
Yeah, okay.
What was interesting, though, was the Brewers player said that he would only take the 3 heroic, and I'd agree with him. Why would you play Brewers and not take that? Both the Butchers said the one less charge was fantastic both of them, I think, were playing Vet Ox as well. So it just made him more efficient.
Yeah.
Does that make him furious?
Yeah.
Pseudo, doesn't
you,
it?
If you've got
he,
wing...
Well, he can. Yeah. He is, but he isn't because he can't be shut down, basically.
Yeah. And then if you have wing back as well, you're just getting really good efficiency.
Yeah. Yeah, or it takes Shank back to his glory days, doesn't it? Because he's then charges for
it
one.
It does indeed.
Like, if guild identities become a thing, a resurgence of Shank is something I will not look forward to, because I'm quite glad he doesn't see a lot of table time, because he used to be terrifying. Because there was really no sort of safe place where you could put your players.
I actually, when I played Butchers, was playing Shank even without Guild Identity cards. But,
fair.
You know, not everyone does that. I think Guild Identity cards, the biggest thing was after the event, we all said we enjoyed it and we had fun. But we all had a very much understanding that they're not all perfectly balanced. And I just posed the simple question, does everyone think that they're needed? And no one out of the eight players that were there said that the Guild Identities were needed to make the game better. They set a fun alternative format, and I hope that's what happens, but we'll wait and see.
Yeah. I mean, I think we were very, very negative when we did our very first Guild Identities podcast.
However,
but the cards have changed very, very significantly since then, and all of the ones that we were massively, massively against have gone. Like the fisherman one of, I miss a goal, I get two VPs. Like, that's just gone now. That doesn't exist anymore. So that's not really a problem.
I think our biggest issue was the one that gains three VPs for doing something.
Yeah, like if you can't put, if you can't put a snare token out on somebody, you get a VP. It was just like, really? It just seems unnecessary, really, I think. But yeah, it all seems better now.
Better, but not needed potentially. But it's a good fun alternate format.
Yeah, I think if it were an alternate format, you might see it. Like we've done a 32 man on a Saturday and then a team event on a Sunday. I can see it being an interesting thing to do in that sort of respect. So you do like a Guild Identities on a Sunday as a relaxed kind of. Everybody's already had their competitive fill for the weekend. Now it's something a bit more chilled.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and they were fun. But like I say, we all had a bit of a laugh saying, you know, or which broken card you take in. And there's also some Guild Identity cards which you just look at and you go, you know what, I'm never going to pick that one. But like I say, it was a fun little event. I think it was good that it was only eight people, because I think if it had gone to a 16 or if you could have a 32, I can imagine if people start to try and take it too competitively, it's sort of defeats the object.
Yeah.
Talking of 32s, we've got our one in February.
Yeah,
you do.
Amazing prize.
Yeah, you had some superstar sign up first, and then all these bandwagoners come along.
Down the net list, Howard.
Yeah, so our next 32 man, which is now sold out, so you can go on the reserve list if you want, is on the 24th of February. And we have a Vengeance ticket available to be won at the event. We are kind of in the process of deciding what we give it out for, whether we look at giving it for first, and then if the first place player already has it, then it drops down to the next highest. Or maybe we just give it to best sportsman, or
gives it a chance for anyone to go to Vengeance.
Yeah, we're a bit uncertain how to do it. I mean, Jay Finnegan's come into the event at the moment, and his idea was that it went to best sportsman. So maybe we'll go with that, and then it'll encourage hopefully a very fun and enjoyable day for everybody. If everybody's playing to try and win best sportsman, then you won't have, like, it'll be quite easy for us as TOs if everybody's trying to have a good day. Like, if it's that, if somebody really, really wants to win it, I suppose. But then we've also got a second one, which we're probably going to do an event in April as well, which will probably end up being another 32 for the second Vengeance ticket that we got our hands on.
Yeah, should be really good, to be fair.
Yeah.
So it's really down field as well.
Yeah, it is.
What, the 32, yeah.
The 32, you know, there's apparently an event happening up in Stockport that weekend, but this one seems so much stronger with a really great field.
Yeah. Maria was commenting. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, because you know you could go to somewhere where, you know, apparently it's called the Masters, but all not many of the good players are going.
No,
you can go to the Heroic Play.
Yeah, where there's quite a few. I mean, we've got. Let's pull up a player list and have a quick look.
There's only one name you need to know, and it's repeated in the name. It's Charles Nurser.
Charles Nurser. Yeah, man.
No, I think it's Charles Nurser.
I mean, and I don't know if you saw the pictures. He's so English. He was carrying around a coaster with him, with his client, at SteamCon US. He's going to be out for vengeance this week. If you think you've got this, Luke, you are screwed. Because
no point. I think I'm going to win this event on Saturday.
He's literally going to turn up. He's going to rock up. He's going to be in a black leather jacket. He's going to have his sunglasses on as he walks in. He's going to whip them off and be like, "Guys, I'm home," and just rock it.
Yeah, I haven't played an event for a while, so I'm not expecting to do too well.
Stop being so modest. We know you're going there to win.
Oh yeah. That's why. Yeah, I've got my thresher ready to go.
You've had Mark Tech in it. You know, it's like, oh, you'd be drilling him, saying, watch the videos. You know, get a good refresher. I need to know how to beat it.
You're going to be grossly disappointed when you say I'll play.
No, because I'm not. Because I'll end up giving you first activation of the last turn, and you're going to score a goal to win. Not that I'm bitter.
But yeah, it is. It's a good crowd looking at it for the 32, so should be a good event.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's gonna be great.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody got anything else they want to plug? Any events running near you, Dan, that you feel that you want to throw a shout out to?
So we were going to have Bunker Balls. Local pundit. Down here was running Bunker Ball this year. The pundit's going to change. It's going to be running it. We haven't got dates confirmed yet, but keep an eye out on Facebooks and the Twitters and all that jazz. Otherwise, just, you know, if you see me at event, come and say hi. I don't post too much online. I don't do any hype trains. But if you want to come and speak to me, you are welcome to have a chat.
Yeah, wicked.
Yeah, you're not as bad as you sound on air in real life.
So, you know, I only kill the ball when I'm 8-0 down. So,
if you want a negative play experience, just play Dan.
Yeah, well, no. I would have to say Dan is one of the nicest people to play against that I play against on a semi. I don't know whether we haven't really played semi regularly, but I always enjoy watching you play and I always think you're a good opponent to play against.
Yeah, I try my best, but, you know, I'll just scrub out. That's why I'm scrubwood as well.
Yeah. Right. No, you're one of the nice guys in the game.
Yeah. Right, something I want to shout about is Team England have opened for applications for the WTC next year. Players have until the 28th of February to apply for the WTC Team England and captain spots. So you can apply for both a captain and a player position. So if you don't get selected to be a captain on the form, it does say that if you are not selected to be a captain, do you want to be a player? You can tick yes. So if you are interested in being considered for a captain position, you need to apply by the 31st of January. If you want to apply just to be a player, then it's the 28th of February. We've got about 10 applications in at the moment. So
you join in, Dan.
I better try and write something.
And maybe get in before Charles Nurser does.
Oh man, he's already in the system. He's got his place. I would say that anyone wants to apply for the WTC, it was a fantastic experience this year. I think it's a great event. One thing I would advise is definitely buying your. If is it been, has the location been given yet? Is it in Poland?
It's Poland,
this year?
Yeah.
Poland next year, sorry. So yeah. If you're going to Poland, I would advise getting your travel tickets early. Don't do like what I did, is actually hold off till late, and then you end up spending £300 on a train ticket.
Ouch.
yeah. But I think anyway, everyone should. Hopefully, there'll be lots of.
So Dan spent about £300 on a train ticket. I'm pretty sure that John Lee said that he spent maybe £70 on a flight.
Yes. Yeah. And what makes it worse is the fact that I live right next to Stansted Airport, but Stansted Airport is the only airport in Britain that apparently doesn't fly to Brussels.
Gutted.
Yeah, it was bad.
You need to move up north, Howard.
Obviously, well, you know, keep Gilbert with the north. That's what's, you know.
We're happy with the Midlands. We're not really that north. Just move like out of France and you'd be all right, kid.
Out of front.
Right, anyway, I think
I think we're pretty much done. So thank you very much for coming on, Dan.
Yeah, thanks.
Have a future Southerner on as a regular.
Yeah, maybe. Cool. Right.
Cool.
Bye-bye.
Right.
See you later.
Bye.
This is the end. Hold your breath and count to 10. Feel the earth move and then hear my heart burst again. For this is the end. Drowned and dreamt this moment, so overdue.